There are seven acknowledged wonders of the world. You are about to witness the eighth.
Your attention, everyone.
All this is regrettable, but there's no cause for alarm.
That's right. Back with the Regrettable Podcast.
Regrettably, yes.
None of us are even introduced yet, so I'm your host, Tyler Massey. Of course, with me, both excellent co-hosts, the legendary Jay Lindley. How are you, sir?
What's up, homie?
And, of course, my brother, the newsman, Patrick Massey. That's what they used to call him.
Yep. Most regrettable.
All right, and here we are with the Regrettable Podcast. Back. This one's sponsored by Laura Lindley, attorney at law. They're all sponsored by Laura Lindley, attorney at law. Nice. In the north side of the courthouse, downtown Dequeen.
Ooh.
Yeah. 20 plus years of experience ready to help you. 870-642-4462 is the number to call. Licensed in Arkansas and Oklahoma. It's Laura Lindley, attorney at law.
And if you're in Texas listening or California listening right now,
uh-huh,
you can still call that number and she will get you to a proper attorney in your state that does the things that you need.
No way.
So it helps you in the search, ultimately. Right. You know right. what I mean?
She helps in all aspects. She's going to be helping our bellies this Saturday night.
Yes, sir.
It's called the Lindley. It's not a barbecue, but I keep calling it the Lindley barbecue.
Yeah, because she asked. She's just one time. She's like, they know we're not like actually barbecuing anything, right?
Right.
Yeah, I was like, no, I think they know it's finger foods.
Just finger foods. Yeah. The Lindley, it just doesn't roll off the tongue as well. You're as right. The Lindley barbecue, the Lindley finger foods.
I thought there was going to be a brisket.
Man, you know, I got busy.
So. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, too busy for your friends,
yeah,
I guess.
Exactly.
You do get busy, Jay. Yeah, no, I'm very excited. That's this Saturday. We're recording this on Thursday, the 14th of October. So yes. The 16th of October, we're going to be over at the Lindley household.
Do y'all even know what time yet, or has she told you already?
We have no idea.
Okay, cool. I was just making sure.
I just said like 6 p.m.
I was going to show up about 6 a.m.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was thinking noon. So
oh, okay.
Somewhere right. in between yeah, yeah. there, guys.
It's supposed to be nice and cool that evening. Mm-hmm. So, you know, yeah.
Cool.
What are you wearing?
What do you mean?
I got to know what you're wearing. Are you wearing that thing with the pocket square and everything?
Are you going high? Are you going upper class or yeah. whatever?
No.
Okay, good.
All right.
You're coming comfortable, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Perfect.
Comfortable.
Perfect.
You don't want to get.
I'm very comfortable right now.
You don't want to get pot stickers all over your suit.
Comfortable. You make us comfortable when you get comfortable.
That's right.
Yeah. I know.
Show up in jammies.
I like the sports jacket, and in case like I ever run into a woman who's really cold or something, I can take my sports jacket off. I can give it to her.
Be,
and she can be
very
warm. Yes.
Man, what is that called?
A gentleman?
Chauvinistic.
Yeah.
No.
I was like valiant, thinking, you know.
Valiant. No. You're talking about being
a gentleman.
No. Gentleman works.
Yes.
But you're talking about being...
Is it a thing you don't know
dead.
About?
A man.
Chivalrous.
Yeah.
Yes, chivalrous.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Chivalrous.
So you would be chivalrous
yeah.
in that
that's
situation.
Kind of a derogatory term
yeah.
nowadays.
Chivalrous
like, how dare
dead.
You open a door for a woman these
yeah,
days?
That's yeah. right.
My wife's, it was funny, Leslie, my sister-in-law, and Laura were going to eat with us, and Leslie was out front walking, and I always, if I can run up to it and grab it quick enough, I always open the door for Laura.
Right.
And she I guess, you know, naturally something happens for you. You stop and let it happen, right?
Right.
So she walks up. She walked up. She caught up with Leslie. And so they both stopped right there. And Laura just kind of stopped and, like, waiting for Leslie to open the door. And she looked at her. She goes, I'm not your husband. Because and Laura just got used to
right.
me opening the door. So every time. And I noticed the next time. Laura walked up to the door. She just stops there and waits for. She'll give me a second even to get to it.
That's so nice. She's like a new trap.
Exactly.
She's like a trap rapper.
Yeah.
I walk up the doors, they open.
I think they call that a trad nowadays, actually.
A trad?
Like a traditional woman.
Oh,
it's a derogatory term for they call them a trad.
Oh, you know, all you trads out there.
Yeah.
I swear I went out with somebody who's the opposite of a trad, like a Tinder date where I'm like, I pulled out the chair and they're like, oh, you don't think I'm capable
right.
of doing that? I'm like, oh, ouch. I was just trying to be nice. Oh, so you're patronizing me.
Ouch.
You know? Okay.
That wasn't fun.
Yeah, yeah.
No, man, it's
you're
going
to eat meat? Well, I'll get a salad. A salad?
Yeah.
Like, no matter what I did was just wrong.
Yeah. Do you know how many plants were killed to make that salad?
Yeah, exactly.
But they're not sentient beings.
Yes.
Well,
plants cast a shadow. All I do is eat beans.
Yeah. Ask Buddha if it's not a sentient creature, okay?
Yeah. I eat dirt. It's
right. Like, exactly.
I have nothing for you at my
house.
I eat
my ancestors. Exactly. Yeah.
I got some ice. You can eat the ice.
That's you about do some, it. I don't do it very often because you don't want to overplay it, your hand. But I do like every once in a while race in front of my wife, open the car door for her on the passenger.
Oh, I do. Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes. You know, like I said, don't do it too often, but sprinkle it in the relationship over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I won't.
Well, how
take
about,
that part out.
All right, fine. Really? It's gone? It's gone. Fine. Whatever. All right, all right. Five minutes in.
Yeah, I'm PG from here on out.
Right? Oh, man. All right, 5 minutes. That's staying in.
Yeah.
That's it. So when you hear that, when you hear that weird cut, that's it.
I was listening to the last podcast, and I'm just like, oh, my God, I got to shut up. Yeah. I really have to shut up.
Well, I think it's funny, though. Like, if I cut out Patrick at all, then the podcast would be horrible.
Right.
It'd be horrible. Horrible.
And that's as entertainers, we have to be able to separate the entertainer from the, you know, businessman. Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, do you?
I just think poor little, like, Ursula Jefferson, who just tuned in to the Regrettable podcast.
It does say viewer listening is advised or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Discretion.
Discretion.
Listening
discretion. Listener discretion is advised. Viewer listening. What?
Yeah, yeah.
Can't view this podcast.
I was like, yes, it is advised. You should listen to it.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Absolutely.
You know.
You ever hold a door open for somebody that's way too long? Like, you kind of, like, walked up. It's Easy Mart or something. Yeah. You look back. They're still at the gas pumps, but they're making the hustle up. Yeah. And you're like, oh, man, what have I got myself into?
Oh, no doubt. Like, sometimes you stop in the middle of the road to let somebody cross. I'll do that because we live in a small town. We got mm-hmm. small roads.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, they're in slow motion as yeah. soon as they step
but they're hustling
the pavement. They're, like, hustling, walk, but in slow run. Motion. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, you have to rev your engine a little bit to let them know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, hey, I'm in a hurry. That's why I'm in my vehicle. All right?
Right.
You decided to go on foot because... You know, you're not in a hurry.
Method, or you're not in a hurry.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't have a job. That's why you have a vehicle. So what are you rushing to, you know?
Right. The amount of people I watch walking down the street just trying to bite their own ear.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just...
But to them, dude, they look like they're killing it.
Oh, yeah, they're killing it. They're just strutting. It's like that, you know, Spider-Man 3 walk or whatever.
Yeah, it's like they're pointing at somebody with their pinkies on each side.
Yeah. Or that lean.
What they don't know is that there's four fingers pointing back at them.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I see.
That horrible lean.
Right.
That's like the most skewed, weird lean, but in their mind, it's just like they're crushing it.
Right.
Crushing the lean, you know?
When they have people drive by, they have cerebral palsy.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
man,
exactly.
That person, glad I ain't got it like that.
Yeah, they look like you just took a picture of them. Like they're just
like a Sasquatch.
Yeah,
the cranks to lean.
Yeah, the cranks to lean. But I'm so excited. I'm excited for the Lindley Finger Food
Festathon. Extravaganza.
Extrava Festa Save-a-thon.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. It's gonna be fun. We've got decorations, dude. And I'm cleaning.
I won't be fifth wheel. Pretty
no,
cool.
No, you that's won't. Awesome.
That's the first time in my life, I think, I've ever not been fifth wheel.
Well, I and I'm very much looking forward to meeting your little beau,
yeah.
your special other, because I've met her on two other occasions now, but I, like, ghosted her the whole time. And it was not, like, I didn't mean to. It was just...
Well, you were kind of the star of the show in both.
You Patrick Swayze'd her?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I guess so.
You made pottery behind her?
Yeah, I was like, she was like Whoopi Goldberg, you know?
All right.
I love it.
Can I not say that?
Sure, no.
Whoopi
Absolutely.
Goldberg is easily offended these days.
Yeah, that's true.
I love Whoopi.
She had the worst radio show in New York.
Really?
That's where I got that thing from, where it's like, we're going to tell you the time coming up. Not yet. Don't want to spoil it.
She's on some like cancel attack right now on this lady. I forget who she's with or from or something, but she was on The View recently and told Whoopi, like, hey, when you get rid of those pants you're wearing, give them to me. I'll make two pairs of pants out of them. And Whoopi was like, oh, no.
Well,
and now there's like this whole I mean, it's a little rude, but I think it was made in a joking manner, you know. Sometimes you're trying to be funny, you know, trying to be a little Dave Chappelle, you know.
Oh, it's too bad.
And you offend people unmistakingly.
Right. If you go to the gym, you're fat phobic.
You just go to the gym.
Yeah,
if you go to the gym, you're fat phobic. Yeah. I'm going to be getting fat this Saturday night at the Lindley. And by the way, we sold out. We what? Sold out.
What?
Not the Regrettable Cruise.
Oh, yeah. It's about half left.
Though. Yeah, yeah. We just sold out as far as we were giving away. And by the time this episode released, the contest will be done. But we've decided to take a page out of a lesser podcast book. Dick.
True.
Freeze. Yes. And we gave away Magic Springs tickets on our Regrettable page. And we've gotten like 40 likes out of it already. So whatever.
It's
I don't care.
Hacky.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was very. And I'm claimed it on the air.
Yep.
That's right. This is what we're doing. We're selling out.
Yeah. Selling out. We got to do whatever we can now.
Yep.
We got to get it going.
Got to get that. It's at that next level. Something happens, you know, that next level. Boom.
Next
now
is
1,000 people are tuned in all of a sudden.
Spotify boom. Deal. Yep. Boom. 100 million.
Absolutely.
No problem.
I ain't hating
Let's hold out for a little bit more than that.
All right, fine.
Chump change.
That is chump change comparative to what we are worth.
Here's the deal, though. Here's the question. Since Tyler does all the work in this podcast, we just get to talk. Does he get a bigger cut than we do?
Damn right.
Yeah, I figured it's like 60-20-20.
Yeah.
Okay, you know? I can handle that.
Yeah.
I'm down with
that. I'm Joe Budden.
Joe Budden?
In the Joe Budden podcast. You're in breach of your contract, Jay. You're fired from this point forward. Okay. Patrick, you are in breach of your contract. You are fired. 100%.
Well, I would. I'm sure you could find two guys that would do just as well.
And pay him half.
Yeah. It's like, no, yep. I'll see you next week on a volunteer basis only.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. Interns now.
Yeah.
Your desk is in the basement.
That's right. No, I wouldn't take a 33.
Your desk is a door on top of two filing cabinets.
Yeah, yeah. 33.01, 33.33.
That's funny.
0.33 or whatever it is.
It'd be 34.
Right? 33. Right. You get that extra 0.1%.
Damn right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know.
No, but you hear me on the podcast, verbal contract. Split it three ways. Okay. Be done with it.
Okay.
Now, the Patreon, that's all me.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I'll take the OnlyFans.
All right, fine. Okay. All right, fine. Well, yeah, we have sold out because, you know, we really want people to come to this Regrettable Cruise, man. The 30th, if you're listening right now, it's the 30th. That's 16 days from the point of this podcast recording. 15 days from when you're listening to this, if you're listening to it on the day of release.
Right.
The 30th, the Regrettable Cruise number 2. I can't even call it what I wanted to call it because
you've
of a couple
lost
of
everybody with all that math you just threw out there.
Did I?
Yeah. Yeah, you lost me for sure. I'm pretty good at math.
Well, I said last podcast I stunk at math because I thought there was
yeah, you killed it just now.
What was it? I thought there was 52 months in a year.
Yeah.
So. I think something like that or whatever it was.
You know, honest mistake.
Yeah, yeah. Happens all the time.
Yeah.
In the show notes it says Tyler tries math and doesn't do well. But yeah, that's going to be a fun one. You can get your tickets at thebrokentiki.com. There's still tickets left, but we are selling. We're almost at half.
Nice.
We're almost at half of what we need to sell. So go there right now if you want to purchase tickets to the Broken Bow Tiki Cruise on the 30th.
Or send an email and tell us your favorite episode and why if you want to try your hand at a free pair.
That's right. That's true. We'll put that in the show notes too. Free pair going out to somebody who tells us
you totally
why
cut that
their
out if
favorite
I overstepped my bounds.
No.
Why they
you
hate
did just
it?
Fine.
I'm fine to hear that. Too.
That's true.
Yeah.
Good point. They're the wife of someone who loves it, and they're driving, and they have to hear it too. And then here's why
animals.
They hate it. Yeah, can't believe y'all talked about the things y'all did.
That's right. So you're going. I don't know what you're going as. You were going to go as sexy priest. But
yes,
that's not going to go.
No, the wife said it might be chilly, and I realized that now because it always was a loincloth.
Right. And you were going to be.
All you're going to wear is the rosary.
Big cross at the bottom.
That's right. Yeah. You're going to be a.
I'm going to be like, the captain of the boat.
Okay. Yeah. You're going to be the skipper.
Yeah.
Skipper.
Right.
All right.
Nice.
Maybe I'll just go as Gilligan. And then Leslie can be the model. What was her name?
Something. Yeah.
Yeah. But we'll find it out.
There you go.
Yeah.
I think
you can make a radio out of a coconut, but you can't fix the hole of a boat, Patrick.
Right.
Gillum's Island or
that
Gilligan's
wasn't the
Island.
Skipper, that was the doctor guy, right?
What?
That was
who made a radio out of a coconut?
Yeah. The skipper was an idiot.
Oh, true enough.
He was the one who put the hole in the boat in the first place.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the doctor genius. Who,
you do. You're gonna have to find a delicate balance because you do wear like Gilligan's Island shoes sometimes.
Yeah,
like Gilligan shoes.
Yeah, I got some good boating shoes.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
For that occasion.
Boating shoes. Horrendous. But so we're excited for that. So watch out for that. The 30th for the Regrettable Cruise 2. we're going to do it.
That's awesome. So, I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. I did show Jay this last week and Patrick a little bit of it, the Democratic Socialists of America. Yeah. So I just want to make a point of personal privilege. Point of personal privilege. That shit is whack. That shit is crazy.
I'm point of personal privilege, but when you say the S word in company, it really triggers my sensory overloads.
Yeah.
And if you could not do that, that would be... And screeching and hissing also.
Okay. Point of personal privilege. I agree. The owner of the podcast I learned recently was just like, well, I just wish they didn't swear so much.
Yeah.
Right?
Oops.
Something like that. Yeah. Wish them boys would watch their mouths.
Yeah.
Too bad. It's mostly Patrick.
That was like 39 episodes ago.
That's true. He's signed off by now for sure. He does not listen anymore.
You do, meet me in the hallway and be like, I heard that episode too, Jay.
Yeah. That's right. But this DSA, now this was from 2019, but it was unbelievable. That whole 20-minute thing I watched was them trying to, and it was a compilation, it was cut, you know, cut all the boring stuff out and all the walking up to the mic. That was trying to pass one rule. One rule. And then, like, this lady's just trying to get to the rule. And everybody's like, point of personal privilege, can you please stop using gendered language? You know? Because she referred to the, you know, like, okay, everybody, you guys need to calm down.
You guys.
Yeah. Oh.
Big uproar.
You guys.
Point of personal privilege.
Point of personal privilege. That is offensive.
I don't like the PPP in the beginning.
Yeah.
I'm no communist, but I will give them their due. They used to be tough bastards, you know? Like, revolutions left and right, you know, taking everything by force, you know? They used to have some cojones when they would go about their business. I don't know. Like, you know how the Soviet Union would clear a minefield?
Yeah.
They'd just walk people through it. The best way to do it.
Right. But they had to worry about starvation. These people are sipping on bubble teas and going to this meeting. You know, and just being like, you know, hey, comrade, point of personal privilege, please don't use gendered language with me. You know, like they actually don't have anything to actually worry about. So they got to create issues and problems within that that arena. You know, in Soviet Union, people were hungry. There was like a bread line or something that, right?
Yeah. So they actually had something to worry about.
Right.
When they woke up.
Yeah. Right.
That is our society nowadays.
You're right.
So we don't actually, I mean... The real things we kind of got figured out. Nobody's going hungry anymore.
No.
Whoppers
are two bucks.
The meth addicts kids, you know, often the meth addicts don't eat, so the kids they often get
free
don't
meals
eat
at school,
homes.
You know, so they're not starving to death.
Right,
just chuck a jar of peanut butter at them, and they'll work it out.
Yeah.
It's just their parents are too lazy to go to the food bank or whatever. So I mean,
yes,
people starve, but it's only out of laziness. I think in this country, you know,
it's available to them.
Yeah, because they got other things to focus their attention on. Now it's like Netflix specials. You know, that is the big thing that's damaging our society nowadays. Or, I that's it. I guess
documentaries.
Right.
I mean, the one about the Tiger King and stuff like that. You know, that type of stuff.
Yeah. They just consume it, and I don't know.
I don't
know why, by the way. Like, you're just so consumed with things that don't matter. And then that spills over into your meetings, the Democratic Socialists of America. It just, the whole thing was shocking. It was shockingly shocking.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Dumbfoundingly dumb.
It was, dude. I couldn't believe it.
You showed me just a little bit of it, and I'm just like, man, I can't.
Yeah.
You know, I'm surrounded by dumb influences all day long. I cannot spend my little
comrades,
free time
comrades,
on this.
Please. Point of personal privilege. Yeah. Comrades, please. Point of personal privilege. Please do not, you know, overload my senses because I have sensory overload, you know, disease or whatever.
But if you're a very uneducated person that is from a predominantly Republican area and you watch something like that and you see the word Democratic associated with it, of course you think all Democrats and socialists are idiots.
Yeah.
That's
you know what I mean? I can see why they think that way.
Spills over into our local problems, too, because we recently had a development here in Sevier County that's been contentious, to say the least. Patrick reported on a noise ordinance that's being implemented in the county here, and it's as simple as you could possibly get. They're all over the states. I'm surprised we didn't have one, to be honest.
Yeah,
you know, like, they're everywhere. They're, like, literally everywhere you are not allowed to play, like, 50 decibels worth of music for hours on end. You can't do it.
End of the night, bugging your neighbors.
That's
you
right.
You can't do it.
You can't do it. So we're just implementing something that should probably already be there, in my opinion. Now, does that mean that you're having a party and it's going to get shut down? And you get No, doesn't mean any of that. And people are just freaking out over it right now.
Guess we can't party after 10 p.m. now.
Guess what? Y'all don't do shit anyway.
True.
Y'all ain't doing nothing that are going to merit this. Like, I watched one lady who's like, oh, so it goes till 12 a.m.? That's when the party starts for me. And her Facebook page, her Facebook profile picture is her with her five kids. And, you know, like, freaking.
And that you, but she's probably still partying.
Unfortunately, yeah.
With all, with, you know, I mean.
Yeah, all five of them kids have been taken away by DHS.
Yeah, yeah, that's, yeah. That's a picture from 3 years ago.
So she can party all, yeah.
Yeah, good point.
True.
Yeah, that's what was most shocking to me is the lack of knowledge when it comes to local government. And there was a few people on there who are also very opinionated about national politics. And it's like, if you don't even understand how your like local quorum court or city council operates, you probably should not have the right to vote. There really right. should be. I mean, and I know this sounds like Jim Crow-ish and all that.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's a very fine line you have to walk, unfortunately, because that was a terrible experience for America. But there should be some aptitude test when it comes to voting, or there at least should be some like requirements before you go vote. Maybe you should understand a little bit about democracy first.
Right.
You know, it's like a one lady was just like, well, I just don't get why people don't get to go vote on ordinances. Okay. All right. Let's say just in our little county, the groups that meet to pass ordinances do that 3 times a month. So that means 3 days of the month, you're going to have to take off so you can go vote or decide and vote on this. You're also you're too addicted to Netflix and Candy Crush to be able to actually properly understand the issues that are, even if it's something like a loud music ordinance or animals at large, things like that. It's, you don't have the time to
After
do that.
A couple meetings, it would be like, why can't we just vote people in that'll vote for me?
Yeah, we'll be right back to where we're at. Absolutely. So
yeah. And I like that lady. She's like, well, I don't understand why that. And you explained quickly, like, you were basically, I'm just a bill. Like, you were essentially, what was that? What was that? Like, yeah, that like Schoolhouse that. Rock?
Schoolhouse
Rock. Yeah, you had to be like, well, actually, that's why you vote in your representative to vote for you on these types of ordinances. She's like, thanks for the information. Okay, yeah.
A Wikipedia check would have done that for you, too. It would have saved you from looking like an idiot on
8th grade.
Yeah, might have been cool. Civics class. Or
something. Yeah.
To not even to go as far as actually changing the law and every person voting on it. Let those people that have also voted on the JPs who are making those decisions for them. Let them actually just go to a quorum court meeting once a month.
Right.
And if they have public comment, put their comment out on whatever's going on.
Yeah, man. Right. It's public. Like,
Because they're like, we didn't even know this was going on. You're like, there's three different meetings telling you about this.
Right.
You know
and then everybody's posting the wrong thing. They were like, here's the people who voted on it. It was all the city councilors. Did you see that?
Yeah.
It's like, those are the city.
Not them.
Nah. Wrong. And it's like, hey, aren't you on it? I saw one person like
oh, yeah. Forgot.
Don't. I remember voting for this.
Yeah. But, I mean, I guess I understand. You know, my wife took a civics or government class. They just watched Manchurian Candidate over and over again. So, yeah, that's her knowledge of politics right there.
All right. Well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one way to. Yeah.
And
I took woodworking. We watched Jaws. I don't know. Maybe the hole in that boat, you would have known how to repair it or something.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
There you go.
But then the dead body comes out.
Yeah.
Scares you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They don't teach you that in woodshop class.
No, they don't. They don't how
don't
to teach you.
Lose your lunch in the ocean. That's
so,
for sure.
So basically, this small ordinance, which, you know, if you're listening anywhere outside of this county, you're like, we have one. Yep.
We live in a society, people.
Yeah, we're not animals here.
And it's not like they're overreaching. They're just adopting like ordinances in the area.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So people are going crazy over it. Saying, this is socialists, communists. Sounds like stinks of communism to me.
Right. Well, maybe if we could just be a little more neighborly. But you know what? It turns out there's something about the last 10,000 years of human history that shows that we need a little government in our lives.
Could be.
Yes, we need some non-biased group. To maybe help us to figure out how to live a little better next to one another.
It's so far from communism, too.
Nah, it's just human nature.
We elected people to vote that in. I mean, that's like this is democracy.
I saw. Oh, they must know somebody to get this pushed through so quietly. Oh, Did you see that one?
Yeah,
I was like.
And then Patrick gets something about like the people that actually put this forward. They're like, why'd you name them by name? You know, it was like, oh, well, you could just go to the thing and it's public record. I mean, kind they spoke at it.
I don't know.
Now they're targets of hate. Now they're targets of hate. No, until you take your next Harry Potter test on Facebook or something, you forget all about this. Don't worry. That's why, like, the local stuff around here is just, it's just ridiculous. Like, every few months, something happens. Patrick's got a report on it, and it gets
blown up on our page.
That's when you know. You go through, and you'll see things that are, like, 100 likes, 6 comments. Or 13 likes, 120 comments. Okay. I don't know what to say
but
about
this. I guess it's fortunate we live in an area where 99% of the time we can live like cavemen. And then that 1%, we're like, oh, society exists, you know? And we have to deal with that. So, I mean, it's a blessing in and of itself.
Right. So. I saw one guy who kind of called everybody. He's like, I don't know about y'all. It's not going to affect me. I sit and listen to the crickets every night. So. You know, all big partiers, I'm sure you're going to be fine.
Yeah,
that's funny.
You
know?
And the whole thing, you talked about a quinceañera you went to where it's like they just invited the whole
area.
You know? So nobody to call the cops except for the people that are looking out their blinds like.
Yeah, right. Why didn't they invite me?
Yeah. Mm. Oh, they did. You know? So I don't know. That was pretty interesting. So we have that going on in our local government right now. But more importantly, we do have a big controversy going on with one of my favorite people in the world, Dave Chappelle.
Yeah,
you know, and
one of the better comedians of all time.
Oh, gotta be one of the greats.
Key and Peele. Come on,
that was pretty good.
That's funny.
I mean, I think that's where a lot of the problem is.
That
a lot of folks
them?
Who are causing the stink right now really think that he stole everything from Key and Peele. When it's totally the opposite
it's
way.
It's a completely the opposite way.
They're just not old enough to know.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I don't know about y'all, but Dave Chappelle has been offending people since he was 14.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's when he first stepped on stage, and he's been saying crazy, wild stuff that's hilarious. So now he's under fire for these transphobic jokes, which he basically was like, you know, I'm not saying a trans woman isn't a woman, but, you know.
Now, was this in a new stand-up he did, or is this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and
the
he tells
her right.
Yeah, the closer. He tells a heartwarming story that's very emotional, and then he goes in to talk about. He has a funny joke, man. It's really really funny. He's like the impossible. Yeah. You know, I don't know. I don't want to repeat it and whatnot. Go and watch it. All I know is he was like those things that they got down there. I mean, that's not blood. That's beet juice.
Yeah,
and funny, very 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 funny. And I don't understand how you could take it so personally. And try and cancel it and force Netflix to take it. So Netflix is already defending Dave Chappelle, saying, Like, Dave Chappelle has his name on one thing. It's immediately worth a lot of money.
Yes, and they're a profit-driven company. Come on. I mean, like, this is not a nonprofit humanitarian organization we're talking about here.
Yeah, every cancellation tweet is more promotion for them.
Absolutely. Right. And I'll just say, like, if I could just rip off one joke from that special that I read. I've not seen it, but unless you live like in the core of the earth, you've heard about this controversy by now. And I guess in the special, he talks about one particular rapper. I'm not sure who, but he's like, this is where we are in this country is where you can shoot and kill a man. No problem. But you better not hurt a gay man's feelings. OK,
that's right. That's right. I remember that joke. I got asked. This is a verbatim question from a listener to me. Do you think in comedy that there's ever a line that shouldn't be crossed? This is like out of the blue, too, like nothing before that. Do you think in comedy that there's ever a line that shouldn't be crossed? Something that would even make you go, well, that's distasteful. I'm going to read my entire response.
Oh, nice.
Right there.
Woo, yeah.
Here's the whole thing.
This first time ever, right?
Yeah, first communication.
Yes, absolutely. There's definitely a line, and it's different for everybody. A Holocaust joke might be funny to one, but not the next, so it's up to you to find your line. The thing is, I never have a problem with a comedian who crosses the line. How can you find a line if you don't cross it? And a lot of comedians probably cross a line and maybe say, fair enough, I was just trying it out. You know, it didn't work. That's a lot of comedians do that. This type of thing where they're just doing these sets at smaller comedy clubs to try out for the, and then they find, okay, well, I got about 30% laughs and 70% groans and horrible. So it didn't work. That didn't work. But for somebody who has nothing to do with comedy, getting offended and trying to cancel whatever, this is absolutely ridiculous. Just turn it off and don't go back.
Right.
It's that simple. Don't ever listen to Dave Chappelle again, which is bad for you, man. You're close-minded. Funny and unfunny come from the same place. I've said this 100 times.
Yeah.
A funny, you could laugh for 40 minutes at a joke or at a stand-up special, and then the one thing that gets you, it's just like the meme you sent me where a lady's watching a dude get hit with a pie, laughing, another dude get hit with a pie, laughing, then she gets hit with a pie, and it's like, this needs to stop right now.
Yeah.
This needs to stop.
I feel like I've patented this term for this. It's called Isaac Hayes syndrome. IHS.
Wow.
There's also IHS. Yeah, IHS. And the thing, once you have IHS, you're very susceptible to EBM. Uh-oh. Which is everyone but Muhammad syndrome. All right. But let's talk about IHS. It is a disease that is spreading across this country, and that's Isaac Hayes syndrome, and it all started seemingly with Isaac Hayes, who was the voice of Chef on South Park. Yes.
Yeah. Loved that character.
Yeah, try these salty chocolate balls, you know?
Yeah.
Our man right there.
Right.
Was fine making fun of every shade of person, every religion out there, until one day South Park decided to take on, I guess, the sacrosanct ideology of Scientology.
Yeah.
And he left the show afterwards, which South Park couldn't have handled any better. What they had Chef die the most terrible, gruesome death, which was fantastic. But Isaac Hayes was totally cool being on a show that made fun of every breath of person out there until it was stupid Scientology.
Yeah.
And he left the show because of it. It's all funny until it gets a little personal, I guess.
Right.
And then you just can't handle it anymore.
Right.
And that is the society we live in. I mean,
it just exposes the hypocrisy, and especially among the people that get offended by this type of thing. You know what I mean? Like, they'll be like, it's like, I don't know, I'm just stereotyping. Let's say in California. What's this say? All right, in California, be a guy who's like going all, you know, immigration, pro-immigration, all this, and then just be awful to the guy who's like serving his burrito at the taco stand at night. You know?
Yeah, I agree. And you're talking about, I've looked it up, there was 2 episodes, if I'm familiar. One of them was the Prophet Muhammad episode, and the other one was the episode you're talking about where the chef quit.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Talking
about they go to a safari, right? A safari that's about hunting big games, but it turns out they're just trying to get boys. They're trying to have sex with boys. Yeah. And of course, they're using all of old Isaac Hayes lines and chopping them together badly. So he's like, "Hey, kids, I don't like, you know."
And the Muhammad one is another perfect example. I mean, that's one that's you say South Park actually pulled an episode where they make fun of Muhammad, and we, anybody listening that pays a little bit of attention to the news, remember, I think it was 2014 when Charlie Hebdo, that's like the French version of The Onion, a satirical newspaper, published a defamatory picture of Muhammad. Yep. And what happened, some like French Muslims went to Charlie Hebdo and gunned down everybody inside the building. And so what did the rest of the world do?
Je suis Charlie.
They changed some Facebook profiles, but did we double down on making fun of Muhammad to just be like, look, this is Western liberalism. We make fun of anybody. We don't take stuff seriously, all right? We make fun of this stuff. Yeah. If we can make fun of anybody, we're going to make fun of Muhammad too.
Right.
No. What did the world do? Instantly, everybody pulls out their funny depictions of Muhammad, and everyone's like, you can't touch that now.
Now, if you make a joke, you're Islamophobia or Islamophobic. Or whatever.
Look, Muhammad himself said Islam is a religion that is brought by the sword. Okay,
right.
I mean it has just as much at Christianity, Judaism. Every religion has some violent beginning to it. You know, it's just that's just how it is.
Yeah.
And now we want to color it as this, you know, super peaceful. And I'm no Islamophobe. Like I love the religion as much as I love any. But it's a simple fact, and now we're running around terrified of making fun. We make fun of Jesus all day long. We make fun of God. We make fun of Buddha. But no, I'm sorry, because there's crazy people out there. You can't make fun of Muhammad. Like, that's the wrong tack to take.
Bill Maher has the best joke ever. He's like, Islam is a religion of peace. There's a PC over there. There's a PC over there.
Yeah.
And then he's the one who said also, liberals are so tolerant, they're tolerating intolerance. You know, and that's just basically saying, why can't you look at Islam and say, you know, it's a little messed up. Yeah. Some of the things,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, and whether
we can
and
say that about Christianity all day
true.
Long,
that's,
you know,
yeah, yeah, and that's the thing is that like you can't even call out like we can sit here and understand that that culture is like completely different, right? Like some of the things that are hard for us to even conceive, you know, like say just some of the way they treat women or this and that, but. You know, so why can't you one say, okay, yes, it's a different culture, but also say that culture's messed up?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like you can hold
you can
both
think
of
two
those
things.
You can, yeah, absolutely.
And that's a point that has really come to the forefront with me with this whole Dave Chappelle special and Netflix. And I got to give kudos for Netflix for having some balls with this whole thing here and keeping it on there. Now we'll see. Time will tell. Whether they will. I think that they're a company that's smart. I mean, they're profit driven, obviously, and they know that Dave Chappelle is going to make them more money than he's going to lose them. So, and honestly, the Twitter sphere that has come out against this is like two people or something.
Exactly.
You know, but a point I want to make is this idea of universal truths and how that is such a fallacy, okay? And really, I was thinking about this earlier. I was reading an article by, shame to admit this, by Gizmodo, okay? Which is, you know, if you're like really into like what's the latest update for World of Warcraft, you know, you're going to go read Gizmodo or whatever. Yeah. But they've been like the top news agency on this whole Dave Chappelle scandal.
They've been around forever.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. So I was reading this morning that there's a group of trans employees, transgender employees at Netflix who are planning to walk out to take the platform to task for failing to meet its mission of creating inclusive, universally enjoyable content. Just break that. Can we break that up for just a second?
All right. A lot of big words, bro.
Yeah, universally enjoyable. That's the stupidest thing I've
ever
heard. Impossible. It's a stupid, stupid concept.
Yeah. Even if you had just a video of a puppy bouncing around, there's going to be somebody who has a problem.
There's people afraid of dogs.
Yeah.
And I got a few examples here I'm going to bring up, you know. But let's just go with the basic law of physics, what actually makes up our universe. Every action has an opposite reaction, okay? The closest thing that I can think of as universally enjoyable is water, okay? And Mio seems to be taking that to task, you know? And
you're fat-phobic. Fat-phobic if you're advertising water.
Yeah, true.
Why can't you advertise sugar water?
Yeah. Code red. Yeah. Code red, universally enjoyable?
Yeah.
Maybe? I hear people diss water all the time, you know?
Yeah.
I got
water.
A friend who you, like, offer them water. What? You know? Yeah. You got some sweet tea in there?
Yeah. Oh, Mr. Fancy trying to clean up your life, huh? Drinking some water. It's like you're insulting a basic
human
thing. Yeah.
I mean, you can go back as far as, I'm just going to a little philosophical on you. We could go to David Hume. We could go to even further and talk about naturalistic fallacy, that things that we assume are natural generally are not. That we all learn in school when we're learning how to take tests that if it says always or never, all right, it's probably wrong. That's not the answer. On a multiple choice question, you don't pick always or never because there is no such thing as always or never,
right?
At least not in human societies, okay? That the idea there is that what works for some doesn't work for others, obviously. It's also called the dicto simplicity factor. You cannot make universal truths, sweeping generalizations. You know, I don't know anything about Lil Uzi Vert, guys, because I think that hip hop got uninteresting in 1996.
Nice.
Okay. Ooh. So that's a truth for me. It ain't a truth for anybody else.
Good
out
point.
There,
right.
is what I'm trying to say. Nothing is universally true. Birds can fly. Ask a an emu that, okay?
Yeah.
All right? See what that emu's going to tell you. Sorry. Exercise is good for people, okay? Yeah. Everybody's like, yeah, sure it is. Well, ask somebody with bonitis that, okay?
Ooh.
Or heart disease.
That's right.
All right? Yeah. Exercise. You might kill yourself. Yeah.
What's that breakable disease where all your bones are? Is that bonitis?
Yeah, something like that. Breakable? Brittle bone disease.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go exercise, you're dead.
You want to try a walk-in at a bank? that's offensive to the people that can't walk.
Yeah.
All right.
People have to crawl into the bank. Yeah. You know, what about them?
Roll in. So,
right.
But here's another quote from this article and just move on a little different idea on this here.
Wait,
but
can you say one more time what it was called? A universally enjoyable content.
This was quoting one of the trans employees who has made a big stink. Her name's Tara Fields, I think. She's come out as she is a self-described trans and queer, which just makes you straight, doesn't it? Like, isn't that two negatives equal a positive?
I just don't know how many things you can attach to yourselves. You're so self-important. How about nobody cares? Just bang whatever you want and shut up.
Yeah. You know, after I read this article, I actually looked like, what is the definition of queer? Because it's changed. Right. There was one in the 70s, you know.
Bilbo Baggins. It was queer folk around in Bag End.
I was thinking like Queen. Okay, yeah, those guys were a little queer, for sure, you know.
Prince.
But according to Webster's Dictionary, which, I mean, is just still an authoritative...
That wacky institution.
Is a person who has homosexual feelings. So now you were born a man, you became a transgender... You're a transgender woman is the proper term, but then you're also queer, so you're into...
Women.
Dudes. Yeah.
Well, into dudes, I guess. I don't know.
It's just
confusing, and that's the point I'm trying to make. Is look, there's been a lot of societal changes forever now, but let's say especially in the last 20 years, and you know, that's where I sympathize with Bill Maher. Bill Maher would have 20 years ago probably the most very progressive person. You know, nowadays he comes across he borders cancellation from the left because he's not been able to keep up. And that's a wrong term. That's to presume that we should be keeping up with this stuff. And there's just a lot of things that have changed that are just jarring for the average American.
That's the main thing. I don't understand why you think you're so important. That's the number one thing. I don't care what you believe, what you think you are, what you believe you are, who you're into, and this and that. None of that bothers me.
Keep it to yourself a little.
I mean, I don't understand why you got to be so in your face with it. And again, my classic argument, I've said it like 10 episodes ago, all down, rights for everybody, blah, 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 all that. I hope nobody gets beat up. That's my main thing. Beat up or discriminated against for their sexual feelings, the gender, what they feel.
Absolutely.
But come on.
Yeah, and
come on.
And here's the thing.
That's my number one. It's
ask a gay person in the 70s or 80s. Look, they had to get beat up a lot of times for gay people to be accepted where they are nowadays. They had to fight for that shit.
Right.
Okay? Now transgender people, and not just them. I don't want to just narrow down on them, but
the whole LGBT community. Thing.
Yeah, or let's the civil rights movement. Man, a lot of people had to get. Unfortunately, a lot of people had to be beat up and killed and attacked by dogs and sprayed by water hoses to get to the more equal society that we have nowadays. These things they take struggles.
Yeah. You can't just step into acceptance.
No, and that's and I can appreciate there are transgender people out there right now that they're like, I know this is different. This is difficult for people to accept. And just by acknowledging that they're going through the struggle right now, that's going to ensure 20, 30 years from now that when my daughter is my age, she can look at a transgender person, not think twice about it.
That's the thing. Why can't, like, that's my problem. Why can't you just accept that it's hard to understand?
It's a struggle. Know?
There's definitely a struggle. You can't accept that it's hard to. It's just like you just have to understand it.
Yeah, just flip
and don't
a switch
question
in your mind.
About it. Yeah, and, yeah. And I'm and nobody questions. I'm just trying to talk about it.
You look like you had something.
Well,
really,
along the same lines, I don't care who you're banging or what you're banging, but don't get mad at me when my natural form of thinking is the first thing that comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, okay, I'm like you said, you're coming around, you're learning new things or whatever. Right. My dad's parents said the N-word pretty frequently.
Right.
And there was no double looking when they said that around there. But every time we left my grandparents' house, my mom said, we never speak like that. You understand that, young, my to me and my
Absolutely.
Brother.
Right. We get better every generation.
Exactly.
That's right.
So So we can, it's got to be understandable. I just don't be so angry with me if I don't immediately understand.
That's right.
You know, if
right.
I say vegans. She, if I say she and you go by they, them, I'm yeah. sorry. But don't be like, it's they, them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just say, hey,
ma'am.
Right.
You have say, not hey, won the war name. Yet.
Yeah.
You are fighting the war
yeah,
right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
And you will win in the future, but right. you can't be, you can't, you cannot underestimate your enemies at
right.
this point.
True.
You have to realize that it is a struggle.
And your enemies aren't the people like us who are trying to make our way in this society. The enemies are the ones who are like, no, you ain't even a people.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And those
you know
people
I mean?
Are so few and far between.
That's true too.
That is not, I mean, that is, That's there is the, certainly those people, but they're not people of power these days.
It's the two and, people loud on Twitter. That's who
right.
those are.
You know, and, I just think we haven't look. Black people have so many struggles right now in our country.
We've skipped them.
We've totally skipped women. Dude.
Women.
Gay Let's
people,
even get a little
women.
Broader.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, no doubt we've come a long way. You know, since the 1960s for sure. But I mean, those things have not been totally figured out. Let's not add more fronts to this war
right.
of liberalism.
Women's a big one.
Yeah.
Like now it's like if there was a way, there's got to be always some way for a man to insert him into. So now a man is like worried about getting his rights over a woman getting her rights.
Yeah, right.
Even
right.
though a man is the woman.
Always had his rights.
And yeah, I don't know. It's like vegans. When you first met a vegan, were you just supposed to automatically like know exactly?
Right.
They're
right.
like, okay, well, can you eat eggs? No. You know, can
that
you
comes
eat
from a chicken?
Yeah, exactly. No milk, no this
from
and
a
that.
Cow?
But then like the third or fourth vegan, you mean, oh, okay, yeah,
sure.
I got, you know, and now it's like totally, you know, there's vegans all over the place.
Yeah,
so there
yeah.
you go. Like it was a struggle, not as much. You know, I don't imagine vegans getting beat up too bad.
Right,
you
know?
Right.
But
right.
I mean, the first, most of the vegans that I initially met, I know plenty now, but the first ones were very militaristic about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
And sure. shoving it like I am doing the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Even though I am doing the thing that I'm sorry, I grew up in a society
yeah.
that constantly told me this is the thing to do.
Yeah.
It took me, you know what? It finally took me to meet some people who were just like, yeah, I know it's a little goofy, but I just feel like it's the right thing
yeah,
for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, you know what?
That's awesome.
Then
just acknowledge it.
Yeah.
That's why I keep saying, come on. If you could just
yes.
if you could just acknowledge to me
right.
that like that's a little odd.
Yeah.
Or like not odd. Like I understand it might be hard for somebody to understand even.
Yeah.
There you go.
Then I'm like, okay, cool. We'll work on
what
it.
What questions
then.
You have, and I can help you understand.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
Like,
right.
Don't even ask questions.
Exactly.
All right.
You know, I've been listening to a few highlights of Opie and Anthony. And
oh, yeah?
I know you've been a fan of it tremendously. You always talk about it. I know it's been a big influence on your understanding of comedy and
mm-hmm.
stuff. And I listened to some highlights and probably a couple hours worth. But there was one where it was not on there, but they had Jim Norton it was Jim Norton. They were talking about a podcast that he was on where they had Bailey J, a well-known transgender porn star.
Right.
And
who's awesome, by the way.
Yes. And they had
She's
clips
super
from
cool.
it. And they were joking about the bidet down in the basement. And they were like, there's a she button and a he button. I don't know which one you're going to use. And she was like, there's not a shim button. You know,
yeah.
I mean, she was
she's
just so
funny.
Cool and open about it. I mean, you look at it. I mean, she's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, from what Jim was saying, she's got a lot of big things going for her. So,
yeah.
But in any case, she was just so cool. And understanding about it, I imagine, you know, if
I feel like she's of the old variety,
maybe
the old breed of trans people that like, you know, understood. They were probably trans in the 90s,
right?
You know, and understood and were able to grow. And now it's to the point where they can make jokes about it. And they're glad that it's more accepted now. It's like these new, like if you were 16 and trans 2 years ago or something like that, now you're 18 and now you're really
don't act like you don't know what RuPaul's Drag Race is.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
Well, what is that though?
Yeah.
I mean, now you're a cross-dresser. Like if you ask Eddie Izzard, he's like, I'm not trans.
Yeah. Right.
A cross-dresser.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
You know, I'm a man who likes to wear women's panties and lipstick. What's
that's
up
not
with
a transvestite?
You? No.
Or you can't say that word. Sorry.
You can't even say that. That's not even. I'm not even
trans
thinking that's
is
a
word
thing anymore.
What? So trans is the only part of the word now that we say?
Well, that's allowed? Transgender.
Oh, you're right. See, that's
yeah,
not.
Yeah.
See,
I don't even know what a vestite is.
I don't
what's
yeah,
a vestite?
Yeah. And don't go with she-male, all right?
Definitely
right.
off the table.
And that's the thing. If there's something about me, like, I don't know, man, I think I can make plenty of fun of myself. Like,
you do
why
all the
can't
time.
You?
yeah.
Why can't you, like, you know, and be so into your identity. Don't there's not a
That's
single
the problem.
There's not a single fallible part. You know,
like, right? What I see is a lot of people. I mean, again, it's maybe trying to build that identity. As we do live in a very individualistic society. If you watch a lot of TV commercial stuff like that, it's all about how can you be different from everybody else. And I feel like a lot of the folks that are manning the guns right now and fighting every battle out there and choosing to die on every hill that's in front of them are people who are like came out yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, and now tomorrow they want everybody they came out yesterday. Today they want everyone to accept who they are. And it's like it's just I know you've joked about like, you know, Bruce Jenner walks into a bathroom and he comes out and he's
Caitlyn Jenner. You're supposed to continue your conversation.
Yeah.
You know, like,
hey, girl, how you doing?
Yeah. And they take their first step. The world's perfect. The world is now perfect.
Right.
And guess what? You, the person who might be trying to cancel Dave Chappelle right now, you are doing things that you're going to be disgusted by in 20 years. That's just the way society works.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought that would come at a point in my life a lot later on from now. I figured in my 60s is when I would be like, oh my gosh, like I am not as progressive as a person as I thought I was. In my early 30s, now I'm like, I am just as bad as Strom Thurmond, you know? Bring up something we were talking about earlier. I'm Strom Thurmond, and I never wanted to be. Never meant to be.
There's probably somebody who, like, you know, voted for Bill Clinton and then voted for, say, Al Gore or something like that. And then they were in a motorcycle accident and were in a 2-year coma who came out and like, what the hell happened? I guess I'm a bastard now. Like, you know, I'm a horrible, close-minded person. The thing is that Dave Chappelle, I don't ever see him being canceled. Can't see it because he said it like 2 days ago or something. If this is the cancel brigade, I ain't worried.
Yeah.
You know?
White people love Dave Chappelle.
Oh,
all right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
like, and if you want to talk about offensive things, go watch Clayton Bigsby. Go watch the story of Clayton Bigsby. I think that's his first episode of Chappelle's show, is the black KKK member who does not know he's black.
Right.
Because he's blind.
Yeah.
And that is, it's one of the truly most funny skits you'll ever see in his life. It's incredibly quote-unquote offensive, know, and like, and that didn't even really get him in hot water, and now he's just like, and he starts his joke out by already stepping on eggshells and saying, I don't want to say a trans woman isn't a woman, but he basically says, like, come on, you know, y'all's pussies are weird. So I don't know. If this offends you, you should probably go back and take a look at the rest of his career. You're gonna be
right.
You're gonna have a heart attack.
Oh, yeah,
you
no
know?
Doubt.
But Clayton Bigsby doesn't pertain to you as a white trans person. So now you're not upset about that.
Yeah. You'll laugh at that or whatever.
Isaac Hayes disease.
Yeah. Exactly.
Or what is it?
Syndrome. Yeah.
Isaac Hayes
IHS.
Syndrome. IHS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're all coming down with a severe case of that shit.
That's right.
And it's just, it's this desperate, this constant wedge, you know? I don't know. I like the idea of colorblindness. I thought I grew up being told color. Everybody is born with has the same ability for talent. It's just opportunity as well. What a lot of people are missing. I thought that was a great, that was a great message. Now that's gone. You know, it's
feel bad for your opportunity.
Yeah, feel bad. You know, everything's against you. You know, if you're not a white male cisgender person. You know,
right.
And I mean,
I guess I don't like colorblindness. I don't like that whole thing. I think we should absolutely
maybe it's archaic. Sure.
Yeah, but. Just acknowledge. You know, like that there's different cultures, different colors, and
absolutely.
It'd be cool with it. Like, you know,
I think the idea though, is that opportunity is available regardless of what your background is. And I don't know. And it's weird to see the constant wedges in every way. I'm thinking specifically like Camille Foster of the Fifth Column podcast. And he's also one of the lead guys at Freethink. Which he's a very, very libertarian guy. I mean, he's constantly, I don't know if this is a term I can throw out or not, but he's called an Uncle Tom. in some African American community, black communities in our country, because he's against critical race theory. He's against this a lot of this woke culture. He's against.
He's cool with a white dude wearing dreads or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
he doesn't think really that's appropriation. Care,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly.
And but now he has been described. He was getting way too influential. He was like on Fox and Friends, and he's been on Bill Maher. He's been in places where he's given an opportunity to discuss his anti-wokeness, and he's been like this countermeasure against wokeness. And now folks in the woke community are a term that I've never heard before, but he's a non-foundational black is what he's being called, because his parents are from Jamaica, so they did not grow up with the experience of being an African American, which
they grew up worse.
Yeah, they grew up worse.
I'm saying.
If you know anything about Jamaican history, yeah. It was absolutely terrible. I mean, slavery was just as – that's like the maybe one of the origins of black slavery is Jamaica,
right.
You know?
Right. Maybe they were all able to drink out of the same water fountain, but it was rough, dude. Mm. Like, especially at his age, then his parents were young in the 60s, 70s.
Right, absolutely.
In Jamaica? Oh, yeah. My gosh. That's not a joke. Right there.
No, and again, it's where it's like, even though he's a black man, his experience as a black man is watered down because his family was from Jamaica, so he can't understand any other black man's. I'm sure he's been pulled over 100 times for driving while black. You know,
right.
He's had to go through other very similar discrimination and racism, but
right.
because of his heritage, he can't. He is not authorized to speak on any. It's stupid. He's a brilliant guy. He's a absolutely amazing thinker. I don't agree with his politics and a lot of his thinking, but I will give him the credit of being a genius and a culture. Man who can maybe understand somebody else's situation, because nobody's situation is new.
Right.
But again, now he's non-foundational, so he can't be taken seriously.
I've had friends that are black that just acknowledge that there's like racist white people, and he has no interest in converting them. He doesn't want them on their side. There can be separate sides, and let's just not, I quote, I'm I. That's...
Yeah.
That's a direct quote.
Yeah, yeah.
I find that it's
that's
people,
not racist.
No.
Right. I find that it's people that are more comfortable with themselves that, like we were talking about, the people that are easy to talk to about the things that are unique to them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the ones that are comfortable with themselves are the ones that you can find that dialogue with and learn. But the ones that are, often militant about it or upset about it or angry about it, it's like you said, either they just figured it out and now you should know too,
yeah,
or they're very maybe unknowing about their own feelings in certain situations, or they're just not happy with themselves.
Right. And we're just so complacent now.
Yeah.
Don't talk crap like you're militant and then you're just on IG all the time or like whatever else. Like, get
Facebook
real about
warriors.
It then.
And
yeah.
And understand that there are no universal truths. I mean, outside of mathematics and physics and science, there are no universal truths. Okay. And especially when it comes to what people find funny.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I mean, and something funny, you just have to breach. You have to jump into the abyss a little bit and see what works. You
can't
know?
Find a line unless you cross it.
Yeah.
True.
You know, if you never go too far, you'll never go far enough. All that cliche bullshit,
right.
But it pertains to comedy especially.
Yeah.
You know, like you gotta cross the line or else what, like, who knows where it's at, you know?
And sometimes all you need is a little time. Not that anybody's making fun of 9/11 in their comedy specials nowadays, but I did hear one comedian, I forget who it was, but he was talking about some of the drinks that you can get in the United States, you know, that might be insulting in other places of the world.
Right.
An Irish car bomb, for one.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you go to Ireland, ask for an Irish car bomb. You might piss some people off,
yeah.
You know, because they have some very personal experience with car bombs going off in Ireland.
You can't order a Tower 7 here.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Can I get the 9/11, please?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Although I've heard funny, I heard a joke from somebody that was like, baby, my sleep number is 9/11 because you're you're never going to forget what happens there. Stuff like that. Yeah. And now I was going to bring this up earlier when we were talking about vegans. I saw, now this could have been fake or I don't know, but I saw like a headline slash like a discussion kind of forum or thread. And the title of it was 9/11 was terrible, but a lot of meat eaters died that day. So is it good or bad?
Oh, my goodness.
And it was obviously from like a vegan or vegetarian group that were saying, well, you know, a disaster like that, but a ton of meat eaters died. So
that's where I when you are that extreme, we're talking about PETA, I think, in one of the episodes. If a true PETA representative walked out and saw Kiwi or your baby girl lying in the middle of the road, they would save Kiwi before they saved your baby girl. Yeah. That type of thinking. Kiwi's able to run off on their own.
Right.
The baby's literally immobile until they're, you know, capable of walking.
Right.
That type of thinking, it's too extreme for me. I can't get behind that. I love dogs. I love animals.
Yeah. And maybe it's one thing if you're actually like a PETA person who's like driven a raft into a Japanese whaling vessel and like thrown them overboard or
with
something.
With rusty hooks and climbed the dirty rope. Yeah.
You got a little bit of walk to your talk, all right? But the 99.9% of people have absolutely nothing but talk.
One of the greatest videos I've seen recently is like a group of non-meat eater protesters who invade like a chicken plant. And you know those, like, it's like the big conveyor belt of hanging hooks that you hang chickens on. Yeah. They go up to it and they take bike locks, you know, those horseshoe bike locks around their neck and connect it to the things.
Yeah.
And if it goes, then like they're going to probably get decapitated. So that's how they do it. It's almost like chaining yourself to a tree that's about to get cut down.
Yeah.
Now, I guess one of the guys who was sick of waiting around for these protesters to go away just hits start on the conveyor belt for a second. And they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. And this dude is running around unlocking all of them. They scurch like immediately the moment that like they're not willing to die for nothing.
Dude, right. Conviction can go a long way. We got a lot of people wondering, like, how did the Taliban take Afghanistan back? Conviction.
That's right.
You know what we lack in this country? Conviction. Yeah. You know, unless it's something like I don't know what it, making sure we can get McDonald's and making sure that Netflix is on or that our internet works and we can tune into Netflix, you know, and to not to segue back into Netflix, but I wanted to read one other quote from this trans queer employee who this was one of my some people may know that a group of three employees tried to walk in on one of Netflix's quarterly business meetings recently, and they were kicked out and suspended afterwards. And and one of them was this
Jesse Ventura,
Tara Fields. Okay. No, that would have been great.
I want to let me in.
Tara Fields comes out and she says that they did this because I'm trans, because I'm trying to speak out over the Chappelle thing. And the like CEO of Netflix is like, no, these are very like. These are very like private meetings. It's a quarterly business meeting. Yeah. If you're not a member of the accountant or business team, you have no business being inside.
Well, how
this
do they
meeting.
Know?
Yeah. I'm sure she talks like that.
Jesse Ventura in a tutu.
Yeah. But in any case, she was quoted in this Gizmodo article saying that Netflix has, quote, continually failed to show deep care in our mission to entertain the world, and entertain the world is capitalized. That if you see Netflix's mission statement, they say entertain the world, big E, big W. Continually fail to show deep care in our mission to entertain the world by repeatedly releasing content that harms the trans community. First off,
a community that's like 0.00000001%, whatever it is.
Absolutely. It's still trying to gain a little traction. Yeah. I think it's been around for like 3 years now.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But let's just remember Netflix is just a streaming service that is mostly just terribly written, directed, and produced material. Mm-hmm. You know, you've joked before, it's like Netflix, you're greenlit, you know. I mean, they'll take anything and put it on there. It's not, like I said before, it's not a nonprofit humanitarian organization. It's there for profit. Let's just say that their mission should not be to entertain the world. It should be, you know,
$3 signs.
Yep. Yeah. Stupefy the world, dull the world, you know, squander the world's time. Yeah, That's what Netflix does. Okay.
Or throw out something of some value, which means Dave Chappelle, because everybody's going to buy that or watch it, you know, and this and that.
So. And you need deep care. Like, I had to put emphasis on that deep care because Netflix, just like every other corporation in this country, cares about transgender people, because you know what transgender people have that you and I have, that queer people have, that bi people have, that lesbian, gay people have? You know what we all have?
Money.
Money.
Yeah, buddy.
And they want it. They want it bad, bad, bad.
They very much care.
Yes. Yeah, they do. So how much is deep care, though? Like, they, you know, I mean, again, they're a business. They care about nothing but money. Yeah. Let's remember that, okay?
How deep are your trans pockets? I'll deeply care.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just, you know, is that a quantifiable figure, deep care? Like Mariana's deep?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we want to go like 6 miles deep.
Right,
you know,
right.
I just don't understand it. I don't know what the hell they're talking about. And it's, again, it's just unquantifiable. It's one of my feelings is what matters.
Right.
But should they sell some of that company stock? Care about that money they get from it?
That's right.
You know?
That's right. Why don't you buy some stock?
There you go.
Why don't you buy, you know?
Become one of the major stockholders.
That's right.
And have
and
a say.
There you go.
You know, and I just see, again, to go, I hate to keep going back to this Tara Fields, but after she... this Netflix did kind of crumble a little bit and reinstated her after her suspension, which I mean suspension, just paid and not have this like free vacation.
What are you talking about?
But she went on Twitter to say that gonna take a few days off to decompress and try to figure out where I'm at.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you do that.
You're at your house right now because you're doing just fine working for a Silicon Valley company like Netflix. All right, decompress. All right. Again, it's to go back to this issue that people don't have real, like we're looking past real problems in our society right now, where you need to decompress because you got your job back after trying to trespass in a private meeting at a place that you work. You're lucky your ass didn't get fired.
Yeah. But this generation is so messed up, dude. I get it. Past ones were like racist and misogynistic, but they at least had a little bit of something there, a little bit of balls of some kind.
I mean,
you know,
goodness,
you guys decompress.
Good gracious, Nazi Germany or the Empire of Japan isn't around right now.
Right.
Because we couldn't fight them right now. I mean, it would be our feelings. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know.
You know, does.
Tara, do you have your head? Then shut up and enjoy it.
Absolutely.
Enjoy it while you can.
You know who needs a little time to decompress is like Rwandan genocide survivors.
That's what I'm saying.
Is it, or who else needs to decompress? Black people in our country.
Yeah.
Women, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, disabled people, you know? I don't, we just, everybody just smoke some weed, okay?
Yeah.
And just maybe that would fix the world's problem.
Enjoy there the regrettable podcast.
Or you can go to Hochatown Distilling Company or Mountain Fork Brewery and get you some of that beautiful stuff. They're going to hate this. It's following that
topic. No, it's perfect.
Yeah. Hochatown Distilling Company, Mountain Fork Brewery makes some awesome, awesome beer, brews, vodka, and now a new bourbon.
Oh, yeah. A new
two
bourbon.
New bourbons. Or
yeah,
two
they
bourbons.
Got three bourbons.
They got three
that
bourbons.
I'm aware of.
Boom.
Brand spanking.
Yeah. So they run the speakeasy.
They've invited us to do a tasting of their new bourbons.
So shout out to them. They are a sponsor of the Regrettable Podcast. Thank you to Mountain Fork Brewery, Hochatown Distilling Company, and the Speakeasy.
All right.
So I do have a question. Question from a listener. This one's brought to you by Hochatown Distilling Company, Mountain Fork Brewery, and Laura Lindley, Attorney at Law. All right.
Okay.
That last conversation was not brought to you by Laura Lindley, Attorney at Law.
Yeah.
Just this one.
I say, because these questions, usually you need to like go have a drink afterwards,
right.
or you
yeah.
need a lawyer afterwards.
That's right.
It's usually how this ends.
That's
or
right.
both. Honestly,
well,
both.
This one's pretty good, I thought.
Okay.
All right. The headline or the question, should I buy my boyfriend flowers? Going into it, my boyfriend is kind of going through a hard time. I know he's kind of sad, so I want to buy him a gift. He loves being spoiled. Should I buy him flowers, or is it too weird to buy a guy flowers? I know he likes roses, but I don't know. Is it too odd? Would you like if your girlfriend bought you flowers?
Oh my God.
I'll take this one. If y'all want me to jump in on it,
take the lead,
Jay
Lindley.
I'll jump in afterwards.
Yeah.
I love flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely love growing them. It would be weird if Laura got me flowers.
Right.
Yeah.
Got you some seeds?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Got me a plant.
Yeah, yeah.
She has gotten me flowers that was a plant that I could then plant and grow myself.
Yes, you get your hands dirty at some
point. Exactly.
Yeah. You might get a callus.
Exactly.
From messing
shovel.
With the little trowel.
But you'd never be like, oh my gosh, and then put them on your, and I hope they don't die,
it's
and
get to
transfer them over to a new vase.
Turn them upside down.
Can I just say,
your book?
Caitlin got me flowers
one
time, and it was the weirdest, the weirdest part of our relationship ever. Like, because of course I did not accept them for what they truly were, just a gift of condolence.
Right.
I was just like, why the hell did you get me flowers? You know, I took it the wrong way.
That's
right.
Funny.
there was like questions that I had to ask myself afterwards. I mean, right. I've been giving the wrong impression to my significant other, where she thinks that I would want flowers. Yeah, you know? It's opened up a chasm of doubt in my mind. So no, please do not get your boyfriend flowers.
All right,
do not do that.
Yeah. What about you? Else
he'll be getting you a 6-pack of Silver Bullets.
Yes,
you know, I know it's been a hard day at the office.
Yeah,
so
no doubt.
Here's a 6-pack there for you.
That would almost be too cool. It would have to be like a 30-pack of Natural Light.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Good point.
I'm with y'all. I think it's weird. I don't think, you know, and that's not, you know, hey, we're like, oh, given our previous conversation, I think we're all really open to everything.
Yeah.
But I'm not ready for flowers as a guy. I'm just not ready for it. And at the same time, like, I'm not a flower guy. I'm not a plant guy.
Right.
You know, so I'd get them, you know, can I throw them out now? Or, you know,
probably like a birthday card or something.
Like, I'm not responsible enough for flowers. I'm not going to keep them alive. I'm certainly not going to transfer. Well, I got to go get a vase now. And,
right.
You know, like,
throw them in an old Sonic cup.
Exactly.
Piss her off.
Yeah.
My idea would be maybe get to know your boyfriend a little bit and find out what his hobbies and interests are, and maybe buy something along the lines of that. Because, I mean, you buy a dozen roses, it's like $80, $90.
That's true.
You know, maybe a little extra on the side. It's a $100 bill you're throwing.
Babe,
for that.
We know we're struggling this month.
Anything edible you can wear, I think, is a good thing.
There you go.
For you to get there.
Buy yourself a little lingerie or something.
I mean, I think you said it best. Even lingerie is kind of a waste of money and time.
Yeah.
Because I just want you naked.
Right.
You know what I mean? So if I can eat the lingerie off of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ching. I got something.
Yeah.
A steak. Maybe buy like a steak dinner.
Perfect.
It
depends. Yeah. Is this guy, I mean, is your boyfriend a lumberjack?
Yeah.
You know?
Or a
vegan. Or a
vegan. He may not want a steak.
Yeah that's slap a prime rib in front of him.
I'm insulted.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know? I don't know, man. Flowers is a gift. Like, and he's sad. I know he's sad right now. He's going through a stressful time. So, you know, he's going through a hard time. I know he's kind of sad, so I want to buy him a gift. He loves being spoiled.
Ugh.
I don't know. I just don't see any guy, even dudes who might like flowers, kind of being like, oh, this isn't exactly a gift.
Well, yeah. I mean, I know this is probably toxic masculinity talking about, but most men think women like getting flowers from them, right? My wife, I know her after a decade. I have bought her flowers plenty early on, but after, you know, a year or a couple years of us being together, she was like, I really like it when you buy me the living, you know, plants. And then you plant them in the yard later.
Right.
And I can have them every year.
There's some longevity to it.
So now I don't buy her flowers. Now, I take that back. I don't buy her the big expensive bouquets that sit in a vase.
Right.
You know, I may, you know, stop at if there's a little flower stand at the local, you know, farmer's garden or something. You know, I may grab some there. But
it's so, like, general. Like, as guys, we don't put, like, we don't put that much like meaning to something and this and that, and it's almost just kind of like, I got you flowers, whether they're this or that, roses or tulips or whatever it is. Like, it's kind of like, I just got you flowers, that's nice, right? Like, or that's nice, right? I've had girlfriends that were like, okay, yeah, if you're gonna get, but I hate roses.
Right.
Don't ever get me roses,
right.
You know. And it's like, well, it's the same. The thing is the same. The meaning is the same because I'm not putting anything to it. It's flowers.
You don't hate roses, okay?
Yeah.
And by the way, because they're like one of the most beautiful flowers out there, and they're very intensive to grow. They're not easy to grow. There's a lot of meaning behind a rose. It's not just a color, okay?
Right.
And
hate roses.
I do get flowers from my wife pretty regularly. Now, I don't do it on her birthday or anniversary or anything. I just do it random days of the year.
That's the best.
But there's always, when it comes to flowers, there's always an ulterior motive. It's not just for the flowers, obviously, because that'd just be a dumb expense otherwise.
Right.
But the reason I do it, my favorite reason, is that my wife works in a courthouse. Yeah. There's people all up and down the office, and I always make sure to get her flowers and have them delivered to her. So the person who is the flower shop seems to have a different person every time I call. They go from office to office, like, is Caitlin in this office? And, you know, they got that big thing of flowers.
They got to look around it.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. It's not the flowers. It's the whole show.
Yeah. And when they finally get to Caitlin, there's a group wondering.
Yes.
Ooh, yeah.
And she works with a few women whose husbands I know very well, and then I I get the text from them afterwards, like, you make me look like a jackass. Yeah. I love that. Yes, that's why I do it.
Here's the thing. For me. Like, if my girlfriend got me flowers, she better get ready. Because now I was like, I'm going to get her, you know, a drill or something like that. Right. Like, all right, well, we'll return the favor.
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand that. Don't get him flowers. That's my thing. Don't get him flowers.
One of you said, what is he like? What does he enjoy? If he's feeling down, like she said, if he's kind of in the dumps.
Get him some MDMA.
Yeah. Like you said, his favorite six pack may work, or give him a fat sack to cool him out, or whatever. But
he loves being spoiled. Do you love being spoiled, Jalen Lee?
Hey, come on! We all secretly love being spoiled, as a man, you can't admit it.
It's my very nature. I'm just like, blah. I don't even like the word spoil. Like it sounds. Right. I don't know.
It does sound like you're a brat.
Right.
You are.
The person I'm seeing right now, I feel spoiled because she has slightly longer fingernails and she'll rub my back with them.
Okay.
Yeah. Spoiled. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Spoiled. I would, don't give me flowers. Just come home and do that for 2 minutes and I'll be feeling spoiled.
I'm spoiled. My wife refuses to allow me to do laundry.
Oh yeah.
So she does.
This is
laundry.
Like an everyday thing. Exactly. Like it's always Jay Lindley Day.
But all right,
you
don't have to do that
laundry. I don't get you flowers.
That's right, buddy.
You know?
Yeah.
You're sad and down. Oh, good luck. You want to wash your stankin' drawers? You know?
Exactly. She's like, I'll get you out of the dumps.
Yeah. You want to end your relationship, get him flowers.
Yeah. Flowers just, I'm sorry. Yeah, this isn't working.
And what's making
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
What's perfect. Making him so sad?
Yeah, you know, right? Like, he's a guy.
He's
getting bullied at work.
I don't know. I've never felt so good about my own like inherent manliness by the inherent disgust I felt by the idea of getting flowers.
Yeah.
You know, like, don't do that.
But I would feel bad too at the same time if everything's going swimmingly in the relationship and she brings home flowers. Like, I'm gonna have to at least act excited like you would over tube socks for Christmas as a kid. Like,
right?
Oh,
exactly.
You know,
yeah.
Tube socks. Okay,
a bouquet of Xbox games or something. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I feel like I have to go chop a lot of wood afterwards just to make up for that. You know,
right.
I don't know. Like,
your friends come home like, what's that?
Yeah.
That's for my twin sister, also named Patrick. Yeah, I don't know. Don't get him flowers. That's all I got to say.
I'll just say from personal experience, my wife got me. We were just dating at the time and had a bad moment, a family member loss kind of thing. And I got some flowers from her. And it was really weird.
But that's different.
It did not work out well.
If you lose a family member, people send flowers,
that's
to men.
True.
You know
that's
what I mean?
True.
Even I have flowers.
Well, it's for the dead person.
But they send it to you. It's for you to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'll be like, is this in lieu of a blowjob?
Exactly.
Is this in lieu of, something else I want? I don't know. It's spoil them. Loves being spoiled. What does that mean?
I don't know. I don't even think about it, to be honest.
Yeah.
How do you know your boyfriend likes roses?
Yeah.
Is he a tattoo artist?
Are you a dude?
Yeah. What would you like if your girlfriend bought you flowers? Or would you like if your girlfriend bought you flowers? I would say no.
No,
definitely.
So there you
not
go.
In the traditional sense.
Not in the traditional sense. So steak, Xbox games, six-pack... sexual treats,
a good hunting rifle,
a good hunting rifle, something for yourself that makes you look, might be feel and look sexy for him, or something.
Carburetor
like that.
Cleaner.
He
needs something to lift him up right now. Not take him down.
Right.
Okay.
Like, you're having a tough time. You're stressed out. You're down in the dumps. And then your girlfriend gives you flowers.
Oh,
and you're
my
like,
God.
What does she think of me?
Yeah.
This is worse now.
Absolutely. And it depends. I mean, is he down in the dumps for legitimate reasons?
Right.
Or do you feel like he's kind of being a little wuss?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Is he just a little stressed over the figures at work or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, because
no big deal.
If there's something you can do to kind of take off some of the stress around,
right.
then maybe do that instead of get flowers. Say, hey, I'll go get the kids from soccer practice this week or whatever.
Cook a nice dinner or something.
Whatever's not norm in your house, break the norm and do it
break
for
it, break
them.
Break the norm, do it for them. Flowers.
Not a vase of roses.
Exactly.
Guy can go
weird.
Kill himself afterwards.
Yeah,
he might.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to go to the bathroom real quick. And he's hanging from the light fixture.
Oh my goodness!
The rope,
right?
Taut rope sound.
Yeah.
Anyway, well,
the National Suicide Hotline is we are required.
Just
to say
listen to Logic. Yeah. I don't know. That guy's awful.
Just don't get him roses, and everything will be fine. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, I think we're going to wrap it up there. That is the Regrettable Podcast. A huge thanks to Laura Lindley, attorney at law. A huge thanks to the Speakeasy Mountain Fort Brewery and Hochatown Distilling Company. Mm-hmm. Huge thanks to Ray Gaston and the Tiki Cruise, the Broken Tiki Lake Cruises that are happening on October 30th. Get your tickets now for the Regrettable Cruise 2. A big thanks to Ashley, our social media director, who's taken the helm on a lot of stuff.
Nice.
Big thanks to Jay Lindley. A big thanks to Patrick Massey. A big thanks to Tyler Massey. I know. Yeah. Barry Horowitz, pack myself on the back. And that's going to be it, I think. What do you guys think?
I like it. All that's right. Fine.
That works for me. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week on the Regrettable Podcast.
Peace.
Bye.